like me.
All right. Thank you, Sister Clark. I'm glad you come to rescue a sinner like me. Amen. All right. This morning, I want you to go to the first book in the New Testament. We're going to Matthew, book of Matthew 18, chapter 18, portion I often read when we have baby dedication or something else like that, but going a little different with it this morning. In Matthew chapter 18, we're going to take about the first 10 verses and really not be able to talk about all of them. I want to talk to you on the subject this morning. Is there a guardian angel? Guardian angels, question mark. You know, there's, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of joking about angels, angel jokes. Here a few years ago, got to be everywhere you turn, somebody was saying something about angels or some images of them or something. One thing about it, anytime you get a glimpse behind the curtain, it's a great testimony for the Lord. And of course, we believe in angels. But I did hear about the guy said he knew that he married an angel because she was always up in the air harping on something. Now, I don't know that that was a compliment, amen. Matthew 18, let's pick it out and begin here in verse 1 to about verse 10. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needed be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to read verse 10 again. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, this is a strong portion of Scripture. I want you to understand it was the meek and mild Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, that was speaking the words that we just read. I don't have time to enlarge on all the words, but I want to deal with a thought. You might think, well, I'll get a concordance and look it up, but I don't believe you'll find the word guardian angel in the Scripture. It's not there. However, the verse that we just read right here says, I say unto you that in heaven their angels, talking about the kids now, that's the subject right through here, the little children, not offending them, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, in recent news, and I'll ask you in a minute maybe to raise your hand, well, how many of you saw in the news, now it came and I saw a little excerpt of it and I watched, and about a week later they got it back, and then finally they brought it even on the local stations here in Tampa, the story of the baby being rescued out of the car that was in the frozen river. Raise your hand. Oh, that's a lot of hands. I'm glad you saw it. They kept showing it several times, and they had the rescue teams out there, the firemen and the policemen, And they asked each other, and they testified that we all heard the voice calling for help from the car. Yet the mother in the car had been dead for a long time. It was hours and hours before they found the car. And when they found the baby in the car, still strapped in the baby's seat, I think hanging upside down, and the baby couldn't cry. It was just almost dead. And they got it to the hospital, and it lived, thank God. But it was a thing that they put on the news several times because the policeman and the fireman said, we heard the voice, otherwise we would have taken our time on getting the car out. We didn't know. And the voice was saying, help me, whatever it was there. And I found it quite interesting that those rescue officers said it must have been an angel. And one of the men there on Fox News said the same thing as soon as it was reported. He said it had to be an angel. Now, I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't doubt it had to be God's way, God's plan to not let that baby perish, to get that baby rescued. And it wouldn't have happened if the voice had not told them to do so. And we can have all kind of testimonies along that line. I've seen testimonies where people were in a bad storm, tornadoes or something, and later on tell their story, which was a miraculous thing, and must have been God's intervention, must have been providence, must have been an angel or something else that was sent to save them in that case. And such stories lead us to believe, well, maybe there is a guardian angel. I remember as a kid looking over the fireplace in my aunt's home, and you've seen the picture, big old picture above the mantle, and a little boy and girl are walking across a rope bridge, as it were, with the steps all broken out of it, and they're in great danger, and overshadowing them is a beautiful picture of an angel. It's wrong. It's a female, and the Bible does not teach that angels are females. It teaches they're men. I'm sorry, ladies. That's just the Bible. We're going to go by it. Amen. And beautiful picture, and it is given the point that God is watching over, and God is sent, as it were, a guardian angel to look after us, and all of that is fine. In verse 10 here, it does say they're angels, but we need to know a little deeper than that, and all we're going to use the Bible a little bit this morning. The meaning of the word angel in the Scripture, as we see it written in English, if you go through and find the appearances of angels, there always are an appearance. They are a messenger, but they're also an appearance. And the two often go together. The angel appears, and he has a message. And that is where you find it in the Bible. Both appearance and both a messenger. Now, as I look here in verse 10, and it says here very much so that their angels do always behold the face of the Father. Now, does that mean that an angel is always with every kid going around with them? I don't know for sure, but I do know this, that God, as it were, on his TV screen, sees their face. He can keep up with them. He knows about them. The abortion clinics of our day ought to understand every time they snuff out a life, God didn't miss it. God was able to check on it. God was able to see it. And that horrible thing that is done today, one of the signs of the worst of our times that we live in. But anyway, that appearance of that kid is before the Father. He knows about it. He is watching. And like in the case with the baby hanging in the car, if he wants to, for whatever his will is, he can move miraculously, even send an angel, as it were, to the rescue. I want to say some things this morning about biblical angels, because I've had a lot of questions since the thing was seen on the news. And from time to time, I have the question about a guardian angel. And I'll say this, while the word is not in the Bible per se, the principle is somewhat taught that God, you remember when Satan quoted the word of God to Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. He said, it's written, you know, that God's given his angels charge over thee. They watch you. Well, that's true. And it's still true today. I won't mess with it to meddle with you, ladies. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, God warned you about your appearance as a testimony before the angels. So, well, I just care about what my husband thinks. You ought to care about some others, what they think too. You ought to care about how you display your body, and I'm not going to run a good sermon now. I'm going to get off of this in just a minute. But you ought to be concerned because there's an appearance in heaven. There's somebody watching on the spiritual side that you can't see. And God said for the testimony of the angels that are watching. All right, that's enough for now. Let me say some things. Who are angels to begin with? They're created servants of God. That's what they are. They're different ranks. Just like we have in the military, we understand somebody outranks somebody else, and somebody's over this group, and somebody's over that group. If you study it, and there's a lot of argument about how many angels there is, and there's 10,000 times 10,000, we understand that. There's a great host as you read the book of Revelation, but they have different ranks. And as we've been studying the book of Daniel in Sunday school, we can understand that they're even over territories. For instance, when Daniel was trying to get his prayer answered, the prince of Persia turned out to be a bad angel, spiritual power, that was resisting Daniel getting his answer and was even able to hold up the angel with the answer to Daniel, and Michael had to come help him. Remember, we studied that in the book of Daniel? And you read in the book of Daniel, there's the prince of Persia, there's the prince of Grecia. That was the two world kingdoms basically at that time. And there was an entity, there was a principality, if you please, an evil one in this case, prince of Persia, that was over that territory. I find it quite interesting today that we're still having trouble with Persia. The Jews are still having trouble with Persia. You say, no, it's Iran. You remember there was a name change back in about 1930 or whenever it was. And the name we go by today is Iran. But it was Persia, and it's still the same territory. It's the same area. And I believe it's the same spirit that was working against Daniel and working against the Jews is still very, very prevalent today. They have territories. They're still, we see in this case, the enemy of Israel. Now, the little book of Jude talks about angels that left their first estate. It talks about some that are in chains of darkness. But all those that followed Satan, all of those that are against Israel are not in chains today. Some that left their first estate in Genesis 6 are. I'm not going to get off on that much. But angels in the Old Testament often showed up as messengers. You remember Gideon? He was threshing wheat, had the wine press hid. He was a bootlegger, if you please. He was hiding it from the enemy. And the angel showed up and said, "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." And little old Gideon looked around to see who he must be talking to. He knew it wasn't him. He thought it wasn't him. But turned out, God sent the angel to give Gideon a message, and he was going to deliver him from the Midianites by the hand of Gideon. And so the angel that showed up was a messenger. You know what? Gideon done just what you and I did. He doubted it was from God. You remember how he put out the fleece and tried to prove whether it was a real angel or not, you know. We're still about like that. Angels come as a messenger often. The parents of Samson in the Bible, read the story over there, how the angel showed up and announced his birth and told the mother even how to raise him, amen? I told him to keep the wine from him and not cut his hair. He was going to be under the Nazarite rule. And the angel brought that message to the parents. So he showed up as a messenger. Angels sometimes show up as warriors. I preached on it not long ago, or sometime, taught some of it. 2 Kings 19, you had a heathen pagan king by the name of Sennacherib. Sennacherib came against Jerusalem, remember? Remember how he mocked the people on the wall and told what he was going to do and how he was going to wipe out Jerusalem? And God sent one angel, not a legion, one. Sent one angel, and in one night, that one angel killed 186,000 Syrians. Don't mess with God's angels, amen? And you have so many places in the Bible that shows us something like that. And here we find how powerful they can be. You say, well, that was back then. Hey, they're still alive. They got just as much power as they ever had. Back in the middle 70s, Brother Scotty Drake and some other preachers, myself, went to Israel. The Six-Day War had occurred in 1967, June, and we got a guide, the Jew boy there, young man, probably in his late 20s or early 30s. He had fought in that war. He was one of the best guides we could have gotten. Before we got home, we were able to lead him to the Lord, thank God, and genuinely so. His name was Zeph. Zeph died here recently, but he really got converted on that trip as we were able to show him and tell him about Jesus. But he told us some stories in the 67-day war, 1967, Six-Day War. He told more than one time where there would be a whole army, a whole great number of Arabs coming against just a few Jews, dug in, and looked like it was sure death for the Jews, outnumbered so. And all of a sudden, those Arabs would throw down their weapons and raise their hands. And you'd have 100 of them surrendering to 3 or 4 Jews. And they'd march them back in as captive and begin to talk to them after they got back in. Why did you surrender to 3 or 4 men? Oh, we saw more than 3 or 4 men. We saw that army behind you in shining apparel back there, and we know over and over those type stories. They even had, and I can't get off into this much, but they even had mystery aircraft that showed up sometime and blew some enemy tanks off. And of course the Arabs said, well, that's a secret weapon America's using. No, America's God was involved. Amen. That was what it was. But they're warriors. Also, I think about they appear in Bible as men. How many of you remember reading about Jacob first when he's about to have to face Esau the next morning, remember? He sent some gifts on ahead, and the Bible says that Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him all night. Remember that? A man. And as it got to daybreak, Jacob wanted to know his name. The angel said, what's your name? And he said, it's Jacob. He said, he changed his name to Israel, remember? And he put his finger on the hollow of his thigh. And you remember how that then Jacob wanted to know the angel's name. And the angel kind of said, what do you mean asking me my name? You know who I am. He was the angel of the Lord. And wrestled with Jacob that night. I mean, it's an interesting thing to go through the Bible and see all of the way that the angels appeared. He appeared as a man to Jacob. In the New Testament, they also appear as messengers. In Luke chapter 1, you got a man called, later we call him John the Baptist. But you remember his father Zechariah went in the temple. He was a priest and he was ministering, remember? And when he was in there, you remember how that the angel told him that his name would be John. And Zechariah, done like you and I, he questioned. And when he did, God struck him dumb. He couldn't speak. And couldn't speak until the boy was born. Remember the story? But the same Gabriel that appeared later to Mary and told about Jesus' birth had already appeared to Elizabeth and told about John the Baptist's birth. And oftentimes they came like that as a messenger. And in the New Testament, a warrior also. I like what the choir was singing a while ago, but the tomb was empty. Now, the tomb had a big rock in front of it. It took a number of men to roll that rock. It was a rock wheel is what it was, to roll it into place. And they had a Roman guard on it. It's getting near Easter. We'll talk about it some more later, but the Romans had a seal on it. Now listen, that was the world kingdom. That was the most powerful group in the world. That was the meanest and strongest soldiers, and they were under strict discipline, and they had a command to seal that tomb and to guard that tomb. Nobody would think a Roman soldier would be a wimpy fellow, would they? But I tell you what, all of a sudden they had fear come over them. And they shook and trembled. You know why? An angel had shown up. He didn't only roll the stone away so they could see the tomb was empty. Jesus was already out. They rolled the stone away where we'd know it was empty. But he sat on it. I like his attitude. His attitude was, boys, you going to do anything about it? Huh? Let's get it on. Come on. They couldn't take a step. Scared them to death. I mean, he just flipped that stone out of the way like nothing, and he sat on it. That means you don't roll it back. That means you don't touch it. It means you don't mess with God. Amen? That's what it amounts to. And one angel in relationship to the gospel, though, do you know God don't allow the angels to preach the gospel? Acts chapter 10, Roman leader named Cornelius, praying and giving alms and asking God for light. And by the way, God will always give the light. And he sent an angel to tell Cornelius to go get Peter, let Peter come back and preach the gospel, Acts chapter 10. Why not let the angel give it? That's not God's plan. God's plan is by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. That's the Bible. That's what I'm doing this morning. There's probably somebody in this crowd said, that foolish preacher, You might be messing with God. This is his plan, not mine. It's the way he wants it done. Amen. He wants me to open his book with his word and give it to all that'll hear. And then the ball's in your court. It's your time to respond, say yes or no. Amen. And here we find that the angel showed up, but he said, send for Peter. And when Peter come, he was able to preach the gospel to Cornelius and see him and his household get saved. But the angel couldn't do it. God wouldn't let him. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, Peter said the angels, talking about the gospel, that the angels have a desire to look into it. I can only imagine the angels of heaven being struck in awe as the call goes out. Man has fallen. Man is lost. We need somebody that will go and represent him and take his place and take his sin and die in his place that he can be saved. Who will go? I'm not sure it went that way, but something like that. Think about it. Can you imagine Gabriel and Michael, archangels? Can you imagine them saying, Father, we'd go fight the armies of the earth. We'll fight the devil. We'll go to hell to defeat him. But Father, we cannot become sin. Can you imagine the awe of the angels of heaven as the Son of God himself rises and throws off his diadem and lets those royal robes fall and say, Father, I'll go. I'll become sin for the sinner. I'll die in his place. I'll take his hell on me. I'll shed my blood that he can be forgiven. I don't think the angels have ever gotten over that. They couldn't go. Jesus went. Jesus came. And he gave you and I that believe the challenge to keep on telling it. Keep on getting the gospel out. The angels can't do it. We can. We're challenged to. We're supposed to. You know, the angels don't give out the gospel, and you got a lot of heresy on TV and a lot of bunch of junk going on today that puts angels where they do not want to be. Islam says that Gabriel showed up to Muhammad and he had 600 wings. That's in their writings. That's in their second religious book, the Hadith. What a lie. What a joke. What a false god. What a bunch of junk. You got all that heresy type stuff to look out for and dodge around today. No, the angels couldn't give out the gospel. You and I are supposed to. And there's no telling how many times they protected a man of God that was doing that, or a missionary, or he's gone out and fought the hordes of hell that the gospel could reach. But man is supposed to speak to man. That's God's plan, amen. Angels can tell of his return. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, as Christ ascended back after the resurrection, after he had given a commission to the church to go into all the world, as he began to ascend up, the men stood looking, the disciples stood looking, and they were watching him as he ascended up. And by the way, the scripture said he was carried to heaven. Means he must have not ascended by himself. He must have had an entourage of angels show up. And as he begins to ascend, they're just standing there gazing. And men in white apparel stood by them and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall come in like manner as you've seen him go." Angels can tell you Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. Oh, yes. But God uses men to preach the gospel to men. I think about him coming again. All we're seeing in the news is stuff with Iran about to get the nuclear bomb, and the White House cheering for Iran and pulling against Israel beats all I've ever seen in my life. It is the most dumb, amazing thing that's going on today. You try to justify it any way you want to, when we're taking the enemy that would love to destroy us and calls us the big Satan and wants to get a bomb and wipe Israel off the map and wipe us off the map, and yet we are coming up to them and pacifying them and turning our back on the best friend we got and the only democratic nation over there. What a mess. What a mess. So what does that mean? It means Jesus is coming soon. That's what it means. That's what it means. Sometime, though, I look in the Bible and Hebrews chapter 13 tells me that we can entertain angels unawares. So what does that mean? It means one could be helping us and we might not know it. Now I'm going to be honest with you. If one helps me, I'd rather he'd look like a man. If he's going to help me, I'd rather not know it until after it's done. Because this frailty of the flesh would get scared. I'm not sure I could handle it. Daniel had a problem with that, and some of the others had a problem with it. Most of us in the flesh would have a problem. And that's why most of the time when that has happened to us, we don't know it as much at the time as when we look back on it. And hindsight says, uh-oh, I was unaware. I didn't know, but God was there. Amen. Ordinary things, sometimes the angel's there. I won't turn to it, but if you were to read Mark 14, it's getting near the Passover time and near the Last Supper. And the disciples asked Jesus, said, where are we going to eat the Passover? And he says, go to a certain place, and when you see a man carrying a pitcher across the street, a pitcher of water, I guess. When you see just a man, ordinary looking man, but he's got a pitcher of water, that's the man I want you to ask where he's prepared for us to celebrate the Passover. They go and they find such a man, and when they ask him, he tells them where the room's prepared. Now, who was that? Looked like a man. Must have been a heavenly messenger. Must have been an angel. Mark 14, you read it and see what you think about it. Just in an ordinary way. Their mission, though, according to the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says they are ministering spirits sent to those that will be heirs of salvation. Now, let me ask you this morning. Are you born again? Are you saved? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven? You belong to Jesus? Do you understand the Bible says an angel is to be a ministering spirit to you? That's what the Bible says. Ministering to spirits. Ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation. I can claim that. I got born again back when I was about 22 years old. I've been saved. And I do believe, unawares, maybe many times, God's had a ministering spirit help me over a bad spot, help me out of a tight, do something that would not have turned out that way had I not had some heavenly help. I believe that. Ministering spirit to those that are heirs of salvation. You know, Paul had a shipwreck near the end of the book of Acts, Acts 27. And he said, the angel of the Lord stood by me in the night. You ever had a night like that when the angel of the Lord stood by you? When the baby was sick and the doctor was shaking his head? Have you ever had a time when, oh, you needed the help that only God could give? I've been there, and I'm sure you've been there. You look back to see it, maybe. But you know, I'll tell you this. I've stood at some deathbeds and seen and heard saints of God describe the angels. Wonderful experience. I wouldn't take anything for. You know, you're not supposed to wait on an angel to bring you the gospel, because he's not. He's not. You can hear the gospel preached in a good church or a personal soul winner talk to you. And it's your turn then to say yes and no to the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel may clear some garbage out of your way here or there so you can get to hear the truth. I believe he does that sometimes. But when you hear the truth, the choice you make is what counts. Whether you say yes or no to the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel will not preach a gospel. I don't care who says what on TV. Paul said that if even an angel preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. So it's the gospel that God loved you, sent his son to die for your sins, shed his blood to pay a price you couldn't pay, and you can have salvation as a gift free when you trust him and accept him. And an angel could not show up and tell you even that much, because God won't let him. But God's plan is for you to hear it and then to trust Christ as your Savior. Have you done that? If you say, well, I'm going to wait till an angel comes, you'll wait forever and you'll die lost. He'll never come to you. But God's pastors, preachers, messengers, soul winners, God's people, pass the gospel on just like they heard it, and you have the opportunity to be saved. Then after you're saved, God may give you a testimony about angel helping you out here or there. Maybe he will. I grew up I didn't grow up long, a few years in the country before we moved to Florida. Big family, all our kin folks probably live within 20 square miles of each other. And my dad's family was a good sized family. I grew up hearing a story, never met her. But I grew up hearing the story of my little first cousin by the name of Lolly. Lolly must have been 6 years old, 7, I'm just guessing, not very old. When my granddaughters come along, the one named Hopi had natural curly hair, just a head of hair. And the pictures I saw of my cousin Lolly, she looked just like her, just like her. My dad was a young school teacher at the time. I was not born. He and my mother had been married. Little Lolly went to the hospital there in either Cairo or Thomasville, Georgia, one of those. And Daddy'd get out of school about 3 o'clock, and he was so close to the family, he would go by. If he got out of school, he'd go by the hospital because she was having her tonsils taken out. That's supposed to be routine, just routine, tonsils being removed. So he went by there, and then the next afternoon he got out of school and he went by again, and something awful had happened. The doctor's knife had slipped, and little Lolly was literally bleeding to death. And they couldn't stop it. Some of the family was in, but my dad got in there, and I've heard the story so many times. He held her hand as she was bleeding to death. And my dad was a very calm and reasonable man. He later on professed Christ and was a deacon here in his church. But at that time, he was probably not even a professing Christian. But as he held my little cousin's hand and watched her die, he said as long as she could talk, she told him about the music, and she pointed to the angels. I heard that growing up. I didn't get saved until I was 22 years old. But I never doubted that story. Heard my dad tell it, heard my mother retell it, heard other people in the family talk about it. Oh yeah, I believe I'll see that little cousin in heaven. I really do. Precious time. Sad to die with just a tonsillectomy, just a routine surgery.
but she slipped out into heaven. But she left the testimony for the whole family, beautiful music, and see the angels. I want to ask you, would it be that way with you if you were slipping out? Do you know Jesus? I hope you do. I hope you do. Guardian angel? Yeah, in a sense, God is watching our appearances before Him all the time. Right now. Right now, He can see you. And right now, He can know what you're fixing to do.